not from she screams for its Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
How's it going there, buddy? What's going on, everybody? It's ESC Podcast. Eat, Sleep, Elite. What's going on, everybody? I am the Bane Duke, also the Duke of Terps, also known as a million things on the internet, to be honest with you. I've got so many nicknames that my nickname might as well be Nick. Anyway, that being said, do you think there's someone actually who's like literally like, they've gone by Nicholas their whole life, and they're like, you know what? Actually, my nickname will be Nick. It will be my nickname. Anyway,
I am Nick.
Anyway, Nick Wayne probably. I mean, do you think he's actually Nicholas Wayne, or do you think he's one of those dudes like our buddy Rick, who's literally just Rick?
I think
right?
His name's Archibald.
Shut up. Anyway, so speaking of shut up, how are you doing today, Charlie? How's it going, buddy? Oh, Charlie,
doing wunderbar, wonderful.
Indeed.
Long live the dynamite. Indeed.
Oh God, yeah, Dynamite was fucking slapping this week. Honestly, I liked all the wrestling this week. I thought it was a fun time. I thought Collision had some good matches. Dynamite had some pretty good matches. I don't think they were as good as the matches on Collision. I do think Collision kind of match diffed them a little bit, but hey, you know, when two of your three matches get, or two, what is it, two of your four or five matches, whatever it was, end up getting like 4+ stars, good luck, you know, but, but,
lots
you know,
of goodies went down.
You know, it could be a good day for you at the office sometimes on Collision, you know? I mean, there was a time, Charlie, when Collision was, like, the match quality show. That was a thing when, like, you'd go to, Dynamite. Dynamite had good matches, but, like, you know, Dynamite was, like, the main stories, if you will, you know, of what was going on across the board. And some of that would leak onto Collision, but then Collision had its own stories. And that's still true to an extent. But for the most part, Collision does seem to have, like, shifted to just being, like, Dynamite 2 in a lot of ways, you know, which is fine. It kind of probably needed to be that. I mean, what is SmackDown besides? I know it's supposed to have its own roster, but I mean, you know, how many times when there was supposed to be a brand split, the WWE crossed something over onto the other show just to pop a rating? You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, it's all relative, right? You know, like,
yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into the show and stuff, and I'll toss it over to you because you have favorites this week. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really enjoyed wrestling this week. I don't think I had any, like, major complaints other than like I wish I had kind of my only complaint is with myself. I wish I had watched Collision before, like, you know, 5-6 a.m. yesterday, but hey, you know, here we are, you know, or I guess today rather. What is time? Time is an illusion anyway,
sometimes,
yeah.
This is not how it works out,
indeed. So yeah, with that being said, Charlie, I mean, you have us first for favorites this week, so go ahead and take us away there, Bon Gifidel.
Yeah, it was a week where it was actually, I felt a little harder to pick from favorites. That's not necessarily a bad thing. There wasn't anything that really stuck out to me that I was like, oh, that's instant pick. But when I got to thinking about it, I was like, well, it doesn't always have to be a singular match. It can be what revolves around maybe after the match. And so for what I'm picking here as my favorite, it is going to be a match, but it's really the overall segment of the following match, or like, you know, of what follows the match. So we are jumping over to Collision, and we are going with the opener of the show, where we had Ricochet taking on Angelico. Okay.
Aha!
So the match itself was pretty fine, right? Ricochet was working as a heel, and Angelico is just a, you know, he's like our Zack Sabre the Third. Right. He gets a little wiggly in there, and that's kind of the best way I can describe his wrestling. He's the wiggle man. So, you know, he's just really elusive, if you will. So we had the good technical grappling that we would want out of a match with his. And I always have to respect that because, well, it gives Ricochet a chance to show off. Oh, yeah. Guess what? He can do that, too. Yeah, they really played into the comedy of the match. And the match itself was fine. You know, Ricochet picked up the victory here. And he grabbed the mic after, and that's where I really, really wanted to get into this. So, Ricochet ends up, you know, they show Zach Gowen in the crowd, and Ricochet invites the crowd to boo him, and they show Zach booing him multiple times.
Every time Ricochet says, I want you to boo me, it reminds me of that segment with Hannibal Buress on what is the guy's name? I'm trying to think.
Eric Andre?
Yes, the Eric Andre show where he's like, why are you booing me? I'm right. It sounds like that so much.
He's like, yeah, you cheer for me. He's like, he listed all the people that he beat, and wow, can you believe the resume already?
Compliment. It's funny. That's what I'm saying. Like, because obviously that's hilarious. You know what I mean? So, no,
but can you believe the resume already that Ricochet's listing off? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, when he said all that stuff, I was like, wait, he beat Kenny? What? Oh yeah, the tag. Oh shit.
It's been 9 months, and he's beaten everyone's favorites. And he should be allowed to flex that, because you can have this, you know, this comedy exterior, but at the end of the day, Ricochet is crushing it in the ring. Comedy aside, he paused what he's doing. He points out Zach Gowen. He talks about how Gowen was retired now, and he's on the opposite side of the ring. And he said, you know, he didn't have a leg in the fight. So he's, you know, he's talking about how he's seen that motherfucker get his ass beat up and down the side. And he ends up kind of beating up some security. He goes to cut their hair. Gowen gets in the ring and he shoves him. He's like, oh shit. So then Ricochet kicks him in the fucking leg, hit the spirit gun on him. He takes his prosthetic leg and leaves the ring with it draped around his shoulder like he just fucking picked off the bones of a fucking animal on the side of the street. He depleted the carcass of a fallen soldier and left with a fucking reward. He poses with the leg. The crowd's booing the shit out of him. There's no one laughing. There's no comedy. He just beat down the hometown hero. And they set up a match for next week. I thought Ricochet, in this moment, yet again, just fucking shined like a true star. And I was laughing my ass off. It was my favorite moment of wrestling this week. And that's why it gets the favorite. Because there was nothing that made me smile more watching wrestling this week than this whole segment. And maybe that's fucking sadistic, but that was a great fucking time. This is the kind of Ricochet that is going to be world champion. And when that happens, it's going to be awesome. So, Duke, what'd you think of the match? We got Angelico out there and he didn't get squashed. So that's always nice.
I mean, that's probably the most surprising thing of this whole segment. I mean, other than the leg being yoinked, obviously. I mean, that was pretty shocking.
But he went nearly 10 minutes. So
yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Good for them.
Absolutely, yeah. SAP got on the show. I actually wrote that in my notes. I'm glad to see those guys. You know, I feel like it's been like, I feel like they got trapped in Miro's white rooms and they finally escaped.
They probably did.
So, I mean, it'd be easy to get trapped in there. I mean, Miro spent so much time in there. There has to be like an active, there has to be a portal somewhere near them in every AEW show, you know, like, because otherwise, how did he get in and out, you know, like, my suspicion is that it's in the gorilla position, or it's called the go position AEW, right? It's not actually called gorilla. But anyway, yeah.
Shout out, Maven.
Yeah, the GOAT. Well, no, I think it actually is. And to be fair, if it's Tony Khan.
No, I didn't know that until Maven's video.
Literally,
so,
the GOAT position, which is
cool.
If
you guys haven't seen that, Maven put out a fun little video with AEW this week.
Yeah, so. it's really informative. I mean, it's a lot of stuff I already knew, but like hearing him say it, like, and I'd actually be like, you know, and because he's backstage at an AEW show, he assumed he asked people questions, you know, and got actual answers as opposed to like just making shit up, because I don't think he'd make shit up, you know, because... He's not anti-AEW, but it's not like he's been, like, the most advocate ever either. He's, you know, usually doing a lot of WWE-centered content because of views or whatever. But, you know, like, yeah, no, I do enjoy that the idea, though, that he does literally have a portal to the White Rooms. That's now canon, even though he's not in the company anymore. Miro's portals are still, you know, in every arena around the country. But, I enjoyed the segment, obviously. Ricochet's really coming into his own as a heel character, I think, which is not surprising now. But, like, you know, obviously when we first came in, the big concern was on the mic, right? That was what we said. It was like, we know we can do stuff in the ring. And he already was doing that, like, a couple weeks in. But what is he going to do when we give him a story? So far, every story he's had, he's nailed. Every, couple-week period where he's not directly feuding with somebody, which he might technically still be feuding with Kevin Knight, but I'm not exactly sure what the deal is there, because he did mention him here, right? But does that mean they're still fighting? Whatever, you know?
It might be one of those things, so they always got a little something.
Correct.
You know?
They may just run that back
that
in a couple
punk bitch
weeks,
Kevin Knight or whatever he said. Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so that's
great
obviously...
for Kevin.
Oh, great. Yeah, because it means he'll probably get, you know.
You want nothing more than just even be mentioned at, you know, you don't want to fall to the wayside.
He's getting so much. I think Kevin Knight's going to be a mainstay in AEW going forward. I would have to think, even though he's going to obviously take time to go to Japan for either the juniors tournaments when eventually he gets back into one, or either maybe if he moves up to heavyweight.
Now he's the heavyweight, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. So maybe he'll even move into their heavyweight division. So there'll be times when he has to, either for the G1 or whatever it is, leave, but there'll be times when we can bring him back. Or, and we've done this with people already that have gone to the G1 and to the Super Juniors, when they come back after they've been gone for a couple months, you know, it is a big return usually because people know what they've been doing. Because usually AEW fans are kept pretty abreast both by the company because they'll usually give us an update or two, but also... Yeah. Usually our fans are pretty smart to the business, and even if they're not watching everything in that tournament, they know that our guy's in there and they want to support him a little bit, so they'll at least keep track of it. So
yes, and just so people don't get confused, Kevin Knight, yes, technically he is a junior, we know that right now, he is doing Super Juniors this year, but he said publicly his goal is to get into the heavyweights, so just like Drilla Maloney, he will transition most likely this year, but sometimes it's not what the booking recalls, because someone might be like, well, how do you guys think he's a heavyweight? He will be. Don't worry.
He looks like a heavyweight. Let's be honest.
He does. And he will be. It's just
what they asked him to do, which I think is what they said on the Jericho podcast interview he did. It's like they just asked him to be a junior because that's what most guys think about.
Yeah, a lot of guys need to start. They just technically have to start there. Yeah. You know? So you know,
if you're not like a 6 foot fucking Adonis, you know what I mean? Like, or 6 foot, like 3 Adonis, 4 Adonis, you know what I mean? Like, you're not. You know, if you're not built like Seth Rollins, you're not getting straight into the heavyweight. Sorry. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be tall and lean, you know, and I'm not saying Kevin's not, but he just wasn't. Japan has a very specific idea of what they consider a heavyweight to be. And it's not necessarily not what Kevin
they want
Knight
to
is,
visually
but...
see you bulk up.
Correct.
You pretty much see it every time. You saw
it's almost
the young
some
bucks.
One of those things where they want to see if you're willing to put that extra work in to become a heavyweight because they want there to be that level of realism to it, I think, you know? But at the same time, I'm sure he'll make it there eventually, even if it's not this year.
Exactly. 100%.
So the fact that he's getting so much shine, it's a very good thing. Ricochet knows, you know what I mean? Ricochet sees a trajectory that's very probably similar to his own, you know, like when he was in Japan, where he's just having these really great matches. But it's not really getting acknowledged in the way that it should. For certain matches it is, but not certainly for... the level of work that he was putting in, you know, so obviously I'm really excited to see what they do with Ricochet going forward. Cause I mean, obviously we got the Zach Gowen match going up. So that'll be really interested to see what they do with that. I kind of hope that somehow we can, I wish there was time within the next week to make it into a street fight somehow, just so we could watch Zach Gowen beat somebody with his own leg. That'd be sick. But you know, like
be brilliant,
but obviously maybe that's, you know, not practical, but hey, I don't care. We can make it happen. Have the ref do an assist or something. I don't know. You know, like, I don't care. But like, you know, no, but yeah, no, I mean, that aside, yeah, it should be really fun. And obviously, I mean, I'm really curious to see. I'm assuming Zach Gowen can still go with the leg if they're willing to do this. Either that or it's just going to be a completely brutal beatdown. One of the two, you know? I guess we'll have to see, right? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's pretty much all I had to say about this. It's a fun little segment, you know, Ricochet doing Ricochet.
100%. Thing.
Yeah, I guess that'll take us to me, which will take us to Collision all the way to the end. And our main event of Collision was Dax Harwood taking on Daniel Garcia. So it was originally listed as Daniel Garcia versus a member of FTR, but even in the graphics, it had Dax front and center.
Yeah, front and center.
Yeah. I think they, you know, that's fine, you know. It's like a personal hard hitting fight here. I like this. And when I use the term fight, you know that I'm like talking about a different kind of match than what we normally talk about on here per se. Because I feel like denotes a certain type of violence, a certain type of person and personal nature to the fight, to the battle, whatever you want to call it. So really the kind of the match really starts to kick off after Dax gets sent into the ring post and gets quote unquote busted open, if you will. And that kind of like, you know, sends Daniel into a frenzy a little bit. You know, Dax gets, you know, onto a chair at some point, and I think Daniel hits like 3 like running drop kicks in a row or something like that on him. And Cash then steps in between them to prevent a fourth one. And, you know, I was really kind of curious. I was like, okay, how are they going to play this? Because obviously you have FTR's heels, so they're going to be cheating or at least trying to do things that are, you know, dastardly, if you will. And like, just this little spot with Cash, like when he puts the little hands out, like, hey, stop. I don't know what it is about when Cash and Dax do this. Again, maybe this is why we talk about them as literally like the best tag team at AEW all the time, right? But like, man, just the way Cash does this, he just fucking steps in between him and he has this look in his face that you just want to punch him in the face so hard. You know what I mean? Like, it is like, I don't know how to describe it, bro. Just nailed it. So the match went on for a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of like really, you know, hard hitting like chops from people and like some pretty gnarly little like, I guess, like, drivers and sort of, like, those kind of, like, planting them on the mat moves. And at one point, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Dax went out and grabbed the ring bell, which then gets, like, yoinked out of the ring. And whilst that creates an opportunity for Stokely to hop up on the apron, distract the ref, I think then Cash grabs the bell, if I remember correctly. And then they use that to attack Danny. And after that, like, I think a few minutes later, Danny Magic then comes in and, like, takes out Cash a little bit. So Cash is kind of, like, you know, I guess removed from the situation for, like, 2 seconds, you know, like the classic wrestling. You got to sell for a few minutes now. So, you know, do a powder, brother, you know. And all throughout this, we had Nigel mentioning on commentary, like, hey, Tony, just, you know, stay put. You know, if anything happens, we're going to be fine. I'll take care of it, basically. So I was, like, expecting something to pay off there, obviously. Plus, I did see something on Twitter that was, like, a little image of Nigel standing up at the desk, and I was like, oh, shit, what happened on Collision, you know? So so I figured that was going to pay off in some way. We had some Let's Go Danny, Fuck You Dax chants. Dax ripped off a turnbuckle pad at one point, and Danny got recoiled into it. Then he hits a slingshot powerbomb and only got two. Then Daniel Garcia hits one of the craziest spots I've ever seen, Charlie, where he hits, I called it a super-duper Three Amigos superplex spot. What the fuck? I mean,
yeah,
he should have just done all four corners. Let's be honest, you know? Fuck it. We ball, you know? Save that for the pay-per-view match. Anyway, but yeah, so that was pretty cool. What else do we have here? Oh my god, after the Three Amigos, or whatever you want to call it, the three super duperplexes, right? Dax gets a foot on the ropes, barely, to stop the count.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, dude, this match is so fucking good. So yeah, a few minutes pass, and obviously of selling and stuff like that, then they end up battling back behind the commentary desk, and now I knew something was happening, because I'm like, all right, they're too close now, you know? And Nigel turns around after his headset gets smacked off by Dax. He stands up, and he's like, you know, I'm going to put my headset back on. I'm going to be professional. You know, I'm going to sit here and how is it he phrased it? What the fuck did he say? Something, oh, it was good. It was something about his hair. It was like something about his hairline 20 years ago or some shit. Anyway, I can't remember the line. It was really good from Nigel, though. He basically said, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing, and you have no hair, essentially. And then so Dax shoved him to the ground, which at this point, if we don't get Nigel versus Dax, especially with what happens at the end here,
That'd be awesome.
Got to have the match. We got to have the match. So we got to have Nigel versus Dax. If we don't have it, then Tony Khan, you have personally offended me, and I will be writing you a strongly worded opinion letter about why I believe you fumbled. But yeah, I mean, sorry. And then, yeah, so here's the thing. Eventually, as I think it's like, I forget what the exact order of events is, but Danny ends up jumping back in the ring as the ref is also, I think, starting to get back into the ring, maybe. And so the ref's not paying attention, and Daniel gets kicked in the balls.
Nutshot.
And then as this is happening, Nigel's making his way to the ring. Nigel hits the ring and starts brawling with FTR. Now, here's my only issue with this, Charlie. Didn't hear the bell ring.
Yeah, and it said it was no contest. I don't know what happened there.
So I caught what happened. Bryce does this move with his hands, and then Tony says Bryce has thrown the match out. The ref has thrown the match out. So even if we're doing that, we got to signal maybe the ring bell hadn't gotten back into position in time. If that's the case, we don't use that spot then, right? I mean, if we need a bell to ring, right? You know, like, I'm sorry, this is a wrestling match. Like, what? At some point, we have to have that. I mean, I'm not saying that every match needs to end with a bell ringing, but it should. I mean, we should have that consistency, right? Like, it was super weird. It was super weird. So that's the only weird thing I would take away from this. But other than that, everything was great in this. So, Charlie, what did you think of this match? I thought it was a fucking banger. Probably the best match on AEW wrestling this week, in my opinion. So,
I thought it was pretty solid. That ending was definitely interesting. And it did feel a little clunky, but that's all right. But no, I mean, I think these guys, they've kind of been wanting to get a match together in a one-on-one situation. and I thought it delivered for what it needed to, you know? Look.
Bald versus shaved.
The crowd cared, and that's...
Wait, Bryce was the referee, too? There wasn't a single bit of hair in this match.
No, there wasn't.
Cash had all of it.
That son of a bitch. Good brother Cash. No, you know. Yeah, it was solid. It was solid for what it was, and... Another solid Collision main event with FTR involved. They're owning this Collision main event scene right now. So a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, kind of deep storylines going on, and you know, it's working. So
you know how like toward like the sort of point last year was kind of like the two emerging teams were Bucks and FTR last year, and like neither team really went anywhere. In terms of like having the greatest matches of the year or whatever. The Bucks went further, if anything, but like neither team really, we both talked about this. Neither team really achieved that last year, in our opinion, you know? I think right now, not that I'm seeing a similar trajectory for these teams, but if I had to say which two teams this early in the year seem like they're going to go for that quote unquote brass ring, I think it's Paragon and FTR. I think that's why they started off with each other. I think the year that was FTR and the last year, I think would have been Bullet Club Gold also at one point. But then there was injuries, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, like, I do think there is a potential for... I really hope the Paragon don't just get forgotten, dude. Because it feels like... I don't know. I don't know where they're going, you know? Like, and I don't... Yeah. I hope it's somewhere good, you know? But, like, I'll give you an example. Like, when I talk about the segment they had, or I guess, was it on... Was the only thing they had this week besides their actual match, was it on Collision, I think, right? So, like, you know, like, there was a little segment, and it's like, it gets me a little worried, because now we just have them going into another match. It's kind of just like a one-off match, probably. Unless they turned it into a few, which maybe they do, but I don't think they will, considering who they're facing. So, like, I don't know. I'm a little concerned for the Paragon, but at this point, FTR are looking really strong. So maybe we don't need to worry about it, because FTR will have us. I mean, heel FTR might just have no. There might just be no chance for anybody else this year. You know, like that might just be the unfortunate case for the tag team division. You know, like,
hey, they just got to keep it up.
100%.
Keep up the good work.
Well, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of news. Nothing crazy this week. Get a little more contract mania, a little follow-up from last week. And it sounds like AEW has signed their newest women's wrestler. And they teased her graphics during the women's title eliminator match on Dynamite with the red and black spider. And Fightful Select has reported that former Stardom wrestler Tekla has signed a contract with AEW. She's been wrestling in Japan since 2018. She's from Austria, so yeah, she's done a lot of stuff in Japan. She's in Ice Ribbon. She won the Triangle Ribbon Championship in Stardom. She won the Goddess of Stardom Championship with Momo Watanabe. She won the Artist of Stardom Championship with Julia and Mai Sakura, and yeah, she's won the SWA World Championship. So, and she got the 5-star GP awards for best Blue Stars Best Match Award. So. Yeah, Tekla is someone, I don't know if she's really dabbled into AEW in the off stuff. I want to say we definitely watched her on one of the New Japan shows that was in America, I believe.
I think so, yeah. The name sounded
familiar. I don't
remember
if she's, I know she tagged a little bit with Julia. That's kind of the first time I ever saw her, is when Julia was really heating up a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, look, this is a good signing. This is awesome. I'm totally down with it. Look, anytime we can add more depth to this women's division and keep it floating, keep these new names in. I mean, now we have two women now, Mina Shirakawa and Tekla, both from Japan, both very talented wrestlers, and they both have really cool gimmicks. So this is going to be cool to see them transition to AEW. And yeah, she posted a week ago, she was, quote, off to new lands. So it sounds like AEW has secured Tekla. Duke, any thoughts on this? I mean, just increasing, we saw she wrestled against Willow Nightingale at New Japan Strong Independence Day. That's what it was.
I'll be honest with you. I do remember watching that match. I don't remember much from
it. It's just been a long time. Yeah, she teamed with Julia.
So, yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I do actually remember that. Because this was, oh, okay, yeah. Because I think, like, a couple months later, Julia, this Tekla, and a third person that's, like, Julia's friend did, like, a trios match together against, like, Willow and some people, right? Yeah, okay, yeah, I thought. So, maybe it wasn't Willow, but definitely some other people. And I remember, because, yeah, because they actually, Julia, the reason why she probably got signed, she was on a fucking diabolical run that year, you know? But
she is so good.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't remember much about her, so unfortunately, I can't really say, oh, I'm so excited. I'm sure if this person is highly regarded in Japan, they will probably be highly regarded in AEW. That doesn't always transfer, but she's certainly going to have more opportunity than a lot of the Japanese women because, you know, they come and they do their couple of months or even sometimes a couple of weeks and then they go back to Japan or whatever. I don't think that's going to be the case here based on the going off to new lands comment. That could just be a misinterpretation by my part, but. It does sound.
I mean, even still, I mean, we know Will Ospreay makes the trip every week. So
I still think he's insane for doing
you
that.
You can do that on the AEW schedule if you really want to. It takes a lot of fucking commitment. But
I don't know how he makes it to Collision.
You
want to
make that god awful flight? Good on you.
Like I understand how he does it when he doesn't like Dynamite, but like I don't know how the fuck that motherfucker makes it to Collision. Sometimes that's insane. You know, like
yeah,
because he is on them. Sometimes he's on them less and less. It seems like, and that's probably for a good reason. But you know. Yeah, no, I still think Will's insane for that, but I respect the hell out of the grind, you know what I mean? Remember when Triple H said this guy doesn't grind? Anyway.
Yeah, Triple H shot himself in the foot with a lot of those fucking comments.
Yeah. Anyway, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, it'll be cool. Well, it'll be exciting to see what she does, right?
100%.
We're not going to sit here and be like, oh, we're super familiar with her. We don't know her game that much.
If we signed Shayna Baszler, we would have things to say because we saw what Shayna could do.
We've seen Shayna a lot. Shayna can get down and get dirty, and she's good.
100%.
We have another six-show residency for AEW, and it's the end of July this time. So, and I don't find this a coincidence, so AEW has their spring break tonight. Or, well, tomorrow, whenever the hell it is in Chicago.
Beach break.
And the tickets are looking really good. It seems like kind of what we were talking about a few months back. The buzz is really picking back up for AEW in a positive light. And it's good. It feels good. It's nice to have that buzz surround positivity like we always try to bring to the table. And I'm guessing that might influence that AEW is doing three shows of each of their programs in Chicago. So, excuse me. We have through July 16th, the 17th, the 23rd, the 26th, the 30th, and the 31st, AEW will be spending three Dynamites and three Collisions at Chicago's Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom. So, if it's anything like this ball, because we're going to talk about that this week, the ballroom that they used for Detroit was fucking incredible. It made the crowd so much louder. These intimate, like, ECW-type settings work so well for AEW.
My jeans were too tight, so I needed more ballroom.
I needed more ballroom. So, Tony Khan said, okay, I would never try this in a city where we didn't have the most support. That's why Chicago's a perfect place to try this. It'll be the first residency we've done in 2025, and I think it's going to be something that we can really bring to Chicago.
I hope some of these resident places, like some of these venues, start to like think, hey, I hope it's like that. I hope they heard about the other one and they said, yeah, I would like that in my city. I hope that's
we had the guy from, we covered that news story.
Yeah.
It was like the mayor of Arlington, Texas talked about how much this did for their economy and like how it brought in all these tourists. And it was like a really good thing to have this weekly event. So maybe they heard it because now we also have this and then we have the seven show residency in Philadelphia. So I love this. I mean, look, if they hit like they did in Arlington, and these are going to be relatively back to back. I mean, you're talking we're going to talk about ROH in a second, but this is really good for Ring of Honor because they're always going to tape there. And that's going
to
help Ring of Honor.
We need to bring in Bishop Dyer because he's from Kansas City to be a fucking heel in in Philadelphia, bro.
And that'll be great.
From Kansas City. The Chief, Bishop Dyer.
So this is just another positive sign, I believe. And if you're in the Chicago area, and a lot of these guys are, hey, you get some AEW. You can go to six different fucking shows if you wanted. So have fun with that. Any thoughts on this? Then we'll get to our last story here.
I mean, yeah, no, it's huge. I mean, I think it's only a good thing. I think the more intimate venues create like an atmosphere that is way better for AEW than like... then I'll say it. Then like a half filled like arena, you know, like as much as I hate to say it, you know, like it's not really always half filled. They usually do a good job of hiding when it's not. And but we can admit to that. Attendance.
No, and there'll be weeks like this week where the arena is going to be filled.
Absolutely. There are weeks where it is filled, but to be fair, we don't need to run that risk, especially with how much shit they get for it anyway. You know, like, I mean,
because I think it was at the back end of 2023 or the beginning of 2024 when that was just really struggling with the week to week tickets, it felt like, or whatever the hell it was.
And they
were in those massive arenas.
Yes.
And you're selling, you know, a quarter of the arena, it does show up on camera.
And I do feel bad because I do feel like I partially, not that our show gets that kind of reach, but like I do feel like I did partially contribute to that conversation because I remember saying to you, I want AEW to go into some of these bigger arenas. I want them to take that risk because even if we don't fill the whole thing up, the thing is, at least we know that like there's a chance that we could. And the one day that we do, when it doesn't look like we will, that's when it's going to be huge. And then I thought I was confirmed that that was the case, but that was because we had just had like the biggest AEW weekly show that we've ever had, which I think was that original Grand Slam, right? Which had like fucking a stupid amount of people watching it, right?
Yeah.
Like
Kenny versus Danielson.
So, you know, like you just, that was a once in a lifetime moment that we created with that match. It's unfortunate, but it is, you know? And so like, we were just never going to do those kinds of numbers for a live show attendance. And so because of that, we have to pivot, and that's fine. And Tony Khan's a smart businessman. He knows what he's doing. And so I trust his judgment to shift AEW to these smaller venues over the last year, which has, I think, improved the look of the show significantly, personally. But, you know,
especially on weeks like this, when you have a crowd this hot, and something else that is hopefully a sign towards improvement in the future, Ring of Honor this week aired on YouTube. So it was broadcast on Friday at 7 p.m. on Honor Club as well as ROH YouTube channel for free. And I saw more people talking about Ring of Honor this week than I think I ever have. And I hope that's a sign of, oh shit, maybe, just maybe, we should not put this behind a streaming service. I understand the logistics of it. I get that. But you really want to help people get seen and get some, actually use that extra hour, hour and a half of potential television you have. Put it on YouTube, because everyone's got YouTube. And I'm not kidding you. More than the first week they did this Honor Club, I saw people talking about Ring of Honor, and
it's got to be such an unnecessary business expense for AEW to maintain Honor Club too. Like, there's no way Honor Club is cheap, and even if it is, there's no way it's cheap enough that
running even if a it is, their profit service, margins aren't that fucking like no, they can't no be way. That big.
I can't imagine they're making any money off Ring of Honor. I mean, AEW wasn't even making money for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, at least in terms of like on paper. You know what I mean? Like, because they just were spending a lot of money to make a video game and various things. So it wasn't until like a couple of years ago they actually started getting kind of profitable. You know, like it's
turning in the green.
If that's the case, then there's no way that Honor Club a couple of years ago was even making a cent, you know? So, like, you know, that's got to be a necessary expense that I would hope Tony Khan maybe gets rid of at some point. Unless the plan is to actually do something with Ring of Honor. In which case, then don't get rid of that, because then you have to make it again at some point. So, but unless you're going to make Ring of Honor its own thing, and I just don't think that there's ever been any indication that Tony Khan wants to do that, like, you know? At least not as much as he wants AEW. Like, I think there's a realistic scenario where 20 years into AEW's run, Ring of Honor gets back to where it was. But we'd have to have AEW be dominant and established at that point. We can't have AEW still trying to figure itself out in a lot of ways, you know? What are we? Where are we? What are we doing, you know? Who are our stars, you know? I think I made my point. Yeah, anyway, moving on.
And that's it for news. So on to Dynamite, where you have the lead, Squire.
Squire, boy, indeed. All right. So lock the fuck in, because we got a long opening segment to talk about. Hangman, this is Dynamite. I also wrote Dynamite is my name, for anyone that knows references to Oscar bait. good old Dolomite reference. All right. Hangman Adam Page arrived, Charlie. He did, you know, he did a pretty really solidly good promo here, I would say. You know, he grabs the mic. It's like, I wanted vengeance. I nearly killed a man to find it. I wanted some closure, but I felt empty. I felt nothingness. Says he's got to move on from Swerve Strickland. The moment he decided to enter the tournament, that's when he decided he needed to move on. Which is crazy to hear him say, considering, like, he doesn't... I would not have guessed that a couple weeks ago, you know, like, based on what happened. But, you know, respect, though, I get it. You know, he could have made that decision, maybe, you know. But, it's just like, I mean, you seem like you were pretty mad in a couple weeks ago. But, hey, man, whatever, you know. He's got one target left. That target makes his way to the ring, Charlie. Will Ospreay makes his way down to the ring. Before they even say a word, we got holy shit chance. We got happy birthday chance for Will. Shout out Will Ospreay's birthday. And I think Will did a really good job of putting Hangman over here. But ultimately, basically, you know, he's with him. He's like, yeah, I understand. You know, you went off, you know, the world went to shit. The guy did something really bad to you, and I felt like you had to deal with that stuff. And, you know, now you feel like you need to be redeemed because you did all these bad things. But here's the thing I have a problem with. I understand that you want your redemption, but it's not about your redemption. This is about me ascending to the top, essentially, is what he said. I paraphrased it, but that's more or less what he says. I do recommend that you watch this segment, so I'm going to paraphrase so that you do. But yeah, so that I thought that was a great line. Basically said that he's been doing more cowboy shit than Hangman has. Basically being a company guy, going out shilling for the fucking press, you know? All the stuff that he's supposed to be doing because, you know, Hangman's been on his little power trip or a little anger, you know, fit, whatever you want to call it. He's been crashing out, and so Will has to step up and be that guy. That's about the point when the Ascension line comes in, the Don Callis family came out. It started getting pretty chippy between Will and Hangman at this point, where they just couldn't stand in the same ring as each other, so it ended up being Don that made the match. So next week, we're going to have two members of the Don Callis family taking on Will Ospreay and Hangman Adam Page on Beach Break. That should be a banger of a match. Charlie, what did you think of this phenomenal promo segment from Will and Hangman here to open the show? I thought both guys, you know, are on top of their game right now, and I honestly have no fucking clue who's winning this match. Between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it really depends on... I think we'll be able to call it after this week's Dynamite, who's winning.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
Because it's to depend on if Moxley's facing Swerve or not, to me, at least. That's where I think it's going to be. I mean, yeah, I thought this was good. It added some excitement to the match. You know, we're already pretty excited for it. But, you know, just a little more... Just to see them out there jabbing at each other, now it feels real, right? It's got some more verisimilitude to it, if you will. And, yeah, I mean, Ospreay's hair is Ospreay's hair. So.
What does that mean?
I don't know what the hell he's doing with that hair, man. Holy moly.
Leave Will alone. He's a good guy.
I think
guy.
Max said
he's
put the fella. Straightener alone.
Hey.
Or something like that. So,
hey.
Yeah.
Leave Will alone.
It was solid. I think if we get another face-to-face with these guys, it won't be as civil.
I would agree. I think the next time that they meet, I think after their tag match, they're fucking brawling. That's what I think, you know? That would make sense, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so that takes us to our next segmento, which is, we ran down the night card, the card of the night, I should say. We had FTR and Stokely come out, and they asked Tony Schiavone a question. And Stokely then shoved Tony, called out Daniel Garcia, and said there. And Dax then says that there was going to be emotional damage, basically.
Emotional damage.
Exactly. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. We had Harley Cameron and Anna Jay, and I literally wrote in my notes have a bonker backstage segment talking about tenacity, aggression, tits, and ass, all in the same promo. Crazy. Yeah, then of course, now that I think about it, it makes complete sense after having the tits and ass segment to then throw Tony Storm up in a fatal four way, you know? So we had Tony Storm take on Thunder Rosa, Penelope Ford, and Anna Jay, and a women's world championship eliminator. Nick, this is a really solid match. And I'll be honest with you, like, this to me was, like, you know, fine, but it was essentially, you know, like, essentially, this is just to set up a secondary feud, really, at the end of the day, which is fine. I mean, we need those, right? You know, so I don't think this will make the pay-per-view.
Yeah, what the fuck's an Eliminator four-way?
So I think, so the rules of this were pretty simple. Tony Storm can beat any of them, and they all lose. Or if Tony Storm or any of the others get pinned, then the person that pins the person gets the match with Tony. So it was never going to be a four-way, like, title match. It was always, and if you think about it, from the champion's perspective, you would absolutely take that match because it removes your disadvantage in a fatal four-way, essentially. Because now you can just, you get the advantage too, because there's no championship on the line. So it makes a lot of sense from her perspective. It makes no sense from the other lady's perspective, though. You have every opportunity to lose this match.
Yeah.
And very few to win it. So, and really, your best bet is still to probably take out Tony, because at the end of the day, she's the one with the most motivation to stop every pinfall. So, like, you know, the onus is on her to win, but it's also kind of on you to not lose. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't think we'll see another one of these again. But once I realized what was going on, I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But also, I don't think we're ever doing this again, because that's a bit wild. Only Tony Storm can get away with these things.
Well, here's the thing. They're doing it again this week.
Yeah. Look, I don't really care. It is what it is. It's a three-person simultaneous squash. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, yes, they're getting some stuff in, but it's, like, not really a lot. So,
just, yeah. It's just a little, it's definitely lazy.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because we don't need to fall back into this trap.
This is true.
Of, oh, we don't have Mercedes or Mariah at hand right now. Okay, let's get lazy again. Like, no. Don't get lazy for everyone else.
No, that's
you
true.
Have other great women's wrestlers on your roster. And I felt like Dynamite opened with, there was a lot of yapping. This was like 25 minutes into the show almost.
Do you
recall the last time we had a Dynamite where there was a fucking commercial before a match? Kind of crazy.
Did we actually have a commercial before a match?
I think
actually,
we did.
That's actually kind of
crazy. Like 25 minutes in, dude.
That's pretty wild. Megan Bain then arrived at one point, I wrote in my notes, got piped by Harley Cameron, which she made the exact same joke on Collision, so I'm not original at all. But I wrote it first, so I actually, it was me, you know, even though I probably
it's
wrote
me.
It on, even though I probably wrote it on Thursday, even though I hadn't seen the show yet, you know? So good stuff there. The crew, you know, CRU crew arrived through the crowd. At first I was like, are they ever doing anything with these guys? And I guess they kind of did, but not really, you know, like they were there essentially because what was going to happen next. So the Hurt Syndicate arrived. And I actually wrote in my notes here, Charlie, you might disagree with me. I actually think the tag titles need a redesign. I don't know why. They look good. I would like a new tag title set. I think it'd be cool. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, but I it's something I wrote down, so I thought I'd share it with everybody. And they were like, we need new challengers, basically. Top Flight arrived. MJF beat them up. Bit them, you know, slammed them into steps and ring, and I think Dante got, like, powerbombed on the apron. Just beat the shit out of him, basically, and then essentially demanded an answer from Bob. And Bob said, I'll give you an answer next week. So I was joking when I said this was getting to Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins becoming a tag team levels. I mean, it actually is at this point, and I think they're doing it intentionally. Like, there's no way. Like, it feels like the stretch has just been so stretched.
Yeah, drag it out to the big show.
You think they're going to wait till the pay-per-view? Oh, my God.
No, I think they'll do it at spring break.
At big break. Okay, right. Okay. And then whatever happens from there, either a match or him joining and them having some kind of, you know, probably eight-man, I'm guessing, if he's going to join, right, you would think. That would make a lot of sense, right? Plus, I don't think we have any big tag matches on Double or Nothing, right? Though that screams to me, with this kind of card that we're having, it does scream a little bit pre-show to me, so maybe they don't do that, you know? Like, I don't know, because you're not going to have MJF do that, right? So, but we're probably the Hurt Syndicate. But yeah, so that's good stuff there. We had the EVPs and Okada backstage. And the Elite are going to their locker room after this segment. I actually don't remember what was said in this. I actually don't, for some reason, remember what they were talking about in the segment before they got to this. But the thing I took away with this is when they went into their locker room, the Death Riders were chilling in there. So there's some progression to that story. Do we think we're going to get the payoff to that at Double or Nothing? Like, them trying to form an alliance with them? Because that makes me a little scared that Jon Moxley's still not losing this championship.
What, at, like, Double or Nothing?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, it almost feels like, for the Jon Moxley story, they've abandoned a little bit of Swerve versus him immediately. So I don't, yeah, I mean, maybe it is him versus the winner at All In. Yeah, I mean.
We don't have a challenger and we got like, what, 2 weeks to work it out?
You know? I definitely thought that they would have by this point. And again, it might happen after the Joe match. So that's why we can't rule it out just yet. But I thought they would have reestablished Swerve as a contender, but they didn't. So yeah, I don't know.
Has he even wrestled any like singles since then? I don't even think
so.
No,
it's been all against the Bucks.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, it would make sense. He's got to take care of them before going to Moxley.
Of course.
Like storyline, it makes sense, but.
But we don't have time to do that before the next paper.
He lost again this week, I believe. So.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know. We got work to do. Maybe we misread the Swerve situation. You know,
yeah, it's possible. Very possible.
You know, it could. We could have.
Moxley might not be wrestling at Double or Nothing, or Samoa Joe might be champion for all we know. So,
this is true. Yeah, that's a real possibility. Joe won it on TV last time, didn't he? I want to say, like, you know. So, I mean, you know, like that might not be true actually. But I think he did beat MJF at a pay per view. But the point is, like, you know, Joe could absolutely carry this title into the pay per view, or rather, into the big show of the year. I don't know who you have be his opponent at that point. Like, I don't know between the two which match would be better, you know? Like, probably even would be good, but, you know, like, but the point is, like, you know? But, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see that, how that plays out. But, yeah, so the Death Riders are aligning with the Elite, it seems like. We had Nick Wayne take on Rhino for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. And, yeah, shout out to Rhino. Big pop for the guy. Yeah.
He's been in about every wrestling company under the sun, so adds another one to his book.
And I hope it's like with RVD, where like he just pops in for a little bit every now and then just to face a random guy. Have him squash Max Caster at one point, have him squash.
And we know Tony loves his ECW guys. So.
Yeah, man. I love ECW. I had no problem with it.
I
wasn't around when ECW, like as a wrestling fan, I wasn't around when it was like mainly on, but I always loved what they were doing there in theory. So like, you know, and I've watched a lot of it back, obviously, in the since then. So good stuff. He picked up the win with the kill switch. There was some bullshit chants from the cloud. I don't know what that was about. I must have missed something, but I don't know why they were chanting bullshit. Probably because he cheated, I'm guessing. But at the same time, it's like maybe they just wanted Rhino to win. I don't know, but like, I mean, they should have known better. Heel Nick Wayne with a championship. Come on. Anyway, but yeah. So we're doing this thing with Christian where he keeps refusing to give him the championship belt, and this time he drops it on the ground at his feet. Just a total disrespect there. Is this paying off with anything? Like, do we think Christian's trying to piss the guy off so he can steal the championship from him or something? Like, I
don't know if it's going towards that type of angle.
Because, like, they
but
bailed out Killswitch of needing that
I do think it's going
by just
to go
having
somewhere.
Him win in the freeway, right? Where he can say, oh, I know you probably didn't want me to do that, but it was always an opportunity for me there or something like that. Whereas with this, it would just have to be a straight up. I don't want them to involve somebody else to chicanery it on to Christian. I want the actual payoff of some kind. I wouldn't mind if maybe he costs, but the problem is we don't really have enough time before the juniors. But if we still had enough time, I would love to see him fail and then he blame Christian or something and then they had to settle it in the ring. Because I feel like we have one, we haven't seen Christian wrestle in a while. And two, I just would like to see this go somewhere actually that has like.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how they're going to do it because Nick's already in Japan. So I don't think he's going to be flying back.
Yeah, I guess probably cooked then.
So this might be it for a little bit here.
Probably cooked then. We got a recap of the Sammy Guevara return and the four-way win of $100,000 that he had. So boy's going to be buying diapers with that, you know? And Roosh was backstage and demanded blood because Kevin Knight cost him 100K. Damn, bro. Maybe Tony Khan needs to chill with these 100K pots causing some problems backstage. But
get some fights out of it all.
Hey, he's like, if I bribe the right wrestlers, the wrong wrestlers will start fighting them, you know? Anyway, but yeah. So we had Mark Briscoe, Speedball, Swerve Strickland, and take on the Young Bucks and Ricochet. So yeah. There was a little extra aggression, I thought, here when Swerve and Ricochet were in the ring together. So there was this really cool triple dive spot where they hit like the crane cam, and they kind of like zoomed out on the crane cam as they all hit their dives, which I thought was pretty cool. I mean, just the timing on that from everybody else in the ring, because I'm sure they told them they were going to do some stuff with the camera there, you know, or maybe they asked them to. High spots of this were ridiculous. You know, it's like we keep getting these ridiculous matches on Dynamite every week, Charlie. It's kind of ridiculous. We got more fake hair spots with Ricochet. Crowd was going nuts. Oh my God, Charlie, the segment where Swerve was 1v2 versus the Bucks was one of the funniest, or not funniest, one of the most, that shit is just fucking, I mean, I almost want to see him in a 2-on-1 match against the two of them, because even though I think he loses, I still think he would have an absolute banger against them, you know? So, the Bucks were obviously really good in this one. There were some near falls of absolute destiny in this one. I actually didn't write down the winner here somehow. I don't know how that happened.
It was the Bucks.
I just must have just gotten caught up in the ending. That's all I'm going to say there, because I usually write down what happens, but I didn't actually there. So shout out the Bucks. Shout out Mark Briscoe, man. Mark Briscoe might have to be in consideration for a wrestler of the year, potentially. I dude has been in a lot of good matches this year. Like, and it's not like he was a weak part of them. You know, like, that dude has been, you know, we talked about like a couple of years ago, okay, is this dude actually going to be able to make the transition, you know? Dude is firing on all cylinders. I gotta give it up to him, you know? Will Ospreay was backstage discussing the upcoming match with the Don Callis family. MJF, not done with Will Ospreay, it would seem, says that he wants him to win so he could beat him again for another championship. Will says, well, why aren't you in the tournament, buddy? You think it's going to go the same as Wembley Stadium, bruv? Max says nobody's on the level of the devil. And Will Ospreay says he's on another level. Good stuff. Jamie Hayter sat down with Renee Paquette I must have just written this down weird. Says that Mercedes doesn't deserve to win the Owen, basically. She doesn't really care about all that, basically, though. She wants to get the real Mercedes. She wants that violent, like, warrior version of Mercedes that we've seen only on, like, a handful of occasions in AEW. And what she does have, her being Jamie Hayter, is integrity, grit, and truth. At the middle of this sentence, Mercedes attacked her. And then they brawl out to the outside into the ring, which I was a little surprised by this. So I guess in the canon, this was a live interview, even though it was a sit down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's weird, but it's cool.
I'm fine with it. It definitely was surprising. It's not something you would have expected, but I was like, okay, should we set up like, I don't want there to be rules, but should it be a thing where when we're doing a produced sit down like that, where we don't then pretend like that wasn't totally shot 2 days ago? Like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess in my head, none of these sit down interviews take place at the time that we're seeing them. But I guess that's not the case. They must do them live, which is insane if that's the case. I'm guessing that's not the case. You know, that would be weird, but...
Yeah, however the lore would be of that.
Oh, the lore is that absolutely was what happened. The lore is they did that live. That's what the lore is. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Either that or they brawled for 3 days straight. You know, like...
Yeah.
Which I think is less likely, be honest, you know? So, but yeah, no, they brawl into the ring. Or I should say, into the arena, I should say. And then, Mercedes then did something I don't think I've actually seen that much, at least in AEW recently, which is that She said, actually, I'm going to the back. And then she said, just kidding. I'm sneak attacking you, bitch. And then got stand tall at the end. So, you know, you don't see that a lot, you know, because I feel like, well, A, the invisible wall of wrestling, right? You know, there's always an invisible wall that the babyface can't run past, you know. But also, I think it's also just kind of like, if you do it all the time, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it's like everything in wrestling. If you do everything all the time, then it becomes meaningless, right? So I'm surprised to see that. But, I mean, you know, it's also interesting because, like I said, you don't see it all the time. So AEW buys itself a lot of road by not doing things constantly, like the DQs and the non-finishes. So even though people are still pissed about them when they happen because you're so used to not having it, at least it's not like every three segments like it was on WWE for a while, you know, where we'd have five matches on the Raw show and four of them would be DQs, you know, like, which
was never a good feeling.
Yeah, no, it just felt like there was never any actual matches, you know, like we need to have wrestling on the wrestling show at some point, right? You know, like, anyway, Alicia Altoot interviewed Willow Nightingale, who then was confronted by Chris Statlander. Still not really willing to hear her out about wanting to be friends again, and she sets a match for Collision. Kazuchika Okada took on Kevin Knight, who is then who before the match was assaulted by Rouge. He put him in a huge disadvantage. Speedball attempted to make the save, but he wasn't really able to do so because Continental rules, so he wasn't able to join at ringside to make sure the match was, you know, fair, I guess. I gotta say this about Kevin Knight. He did not look out of place with Kazuchika Okada in the same ring as him. And I think that's worth noting, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
And yeah, I mean, you know, after Okada hits a Rainmaker, picks up the win, he attacks him after the bell. So, I mean, is this leading to Speedball versus Okada? Is that what we're setting up for?
You know, Speedball!
Like, Speedball! Anyway.
Speedball!
But yeah, so that'd be good stuff. We go backstage. Don Callis' family won a match with the Outrunners and some of their friends for being assholes, you know? I don't know. The Outrunners just existing, you know? Also backstage, legal counsel advised. So now there's this new character in the Hurt Syndicate, the legal counsel. I don't know if he's ever going to be back.
Shady,
but
fucking guy.
He's there, you know.
That's a shady fella.
Yeah. The legal counsel advised that Bobby Lashley not reveal the information just yet about, because I think, I'm not sure if it was Lexi, whoever it was trying to ask him, hey, just tell us now, even though, you know, if you want to just tell us, you know. And he was going to do it, but then the legal counsel was like, nah, man, save it for next week. Samoa Joe, it's the main event time. Yeah, Samoa Joe on Claudio Castagnoli. We had some Joe chance to open us up, but ultimately, Charlie, I said it last week, this match could suck. Did it suck? No. Was it fucking anything worth talking about, though? Also, no. God damn it.
Yeah.
Just very grounded. It had some really good spots in it. Claudio was bald as hell. The power slam that Joe hit was really nice. And then, you know, I think he choked out Claudio, and then Hobbert made the save, you know. And they killed Claudio for breakfast, you know. I like everything Joe's doing right now, but this match just didn't. Is Joe fine? Because this has been a thing a few times now since he's been in AEW. Is Joe at that age now where we just need to put him against really, 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 really specific types of people for him to have, like, those kinds of matches we want him to have? Like,
I'm going to say no right now because I do think it's just what this thing that's going on with Claudio is.
Do we need to just completely repackage Claudio post Death Riders? Like, we yank him out of the group.
And then put him
in his own thing and just hope that we can do something with him, because I feel so bad for that guy, because he's been caught up in this Blackpool Combat Club shit for like 5 years almost now, I feel like, you know, like
the day he walked in the door.
Yeah, literally. So I hope he can get free of those chains here soon and can actually get back to doing Claudio things, because I do feel bad for the guy in that way, because it's not like he hasn't been a part of a good angle. I mean, he's been in crazy matches and had some good matches himself, but
he just had one with Adam Cole not that long ago.
100%.
But sometimes that's just not the case.
Yeah, and that'll take us to Collision, bud. Yeah, bud.
And look, we've had a lot of home runs lately, so a weaker Dynamite isn't the fucking end of the world, and it's perfectly fine. Like you said, at least we had the opening, that opening sequence that was so good with the face-to-face, you know? And the party, the six-man tag was still really good.
Oh, 100%.
Just the rest of the show was kind of whatever, and that's all right, you know? We've had so many home runs, I don't mind a mid to, you know, a 5 out of 10 Dynamite, 6 out of 10 Dynamite. It's not the end of the world. Let's jump into Collision here, okay? So, we open up with Toni Storm making her entrance, and she's just giving us a classic Toni Storm promo. A lot of, you know, just...
She said you gotta spit on it and sit on it. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Toni Storm promo. You know what you're getting right now. You know what her promos are. They're all kind of becoming the same. And that's fine. It's working. So, and she wants to face a new set of challengers before Hayley or Mercedes again sets up the match on tonight or, you know, tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. The Paragon backstage, O'Reilly and Strong talking about the disappointment they had.
The Paragon, you mean they're all going to be Paragon FTR? Back to WWE in a few years.
Yeah, right. Where the Mr. Beast versus Logan Paul WrestleMania main event's going to happen.
For the Kenny Internet Omega. Championship with Zach Ryder.
You see that quote from Kenny? He was like, someone was asking him, like, hey, do you think you're going to end up going to WWE at the end of your career? And he's like, the main event of WrestleMania is most likely going to be Logan Paul versus Mr. Beast in a few years. Is that, what does that do for the wrestling atmosphere? Like, hell's, Jesus, Kenny. Tell us how you really feel. So the Grizzled Young Vets showed up, challenged him. So, cool.
They also escaped from Miro's White Rooms.
Yeah, they did. We had the match I did for my favorite.
That's Don the Cal's meta family. Now. When we don't see somebody for more than 3 weeks and it's not injury related, they got trapped in Miro's White Rooms by accident.
Well, I'm afraid Wardlow's more than trapped. I think
Wardlow might be the new resident of those White Rooms.
I think someone's gluing him in those fucking rooms. Like, he can't, he's like stuck. I
hate to say it. I'm starting to feel very Ricky about Wardlow at this point. It's starting to feel like he's just never coming back. And that sucks, you know?
You fucking better come back. Or I'm going to end up
he
on
claims
national
he's
news.
He's an AEW lifer, though. But
or
also,
I'm
going to
end up
so
on the national news.
Though.
He better be back.
For a be, good reason, right? He'd be on the news for a good reason, right?
A good reason, of course. Talking about my guy, War Dog. Fletcher, Archer, Romero, and Beretta team up and defeat the Outrunners, AR Fox, and Bandido. Fuck me for having Bandido in this match. God, pain. Oh,
yeah. I was like, oh my God, they didn't actually banish Bandido. And then he loses the first match back on TV when he just won the championship.
Fuck.
The last thing anybody on AEW saw from this guy was him winning the championship off Jericho. And now this is what you do? What? Does that mean they get a Ring of Honor world title shot now?
# room for concern. Okay, but the only thing that mattered in this match was the new finisher, the Jackal Driver for RPG Vice. What did you think of it?
It was a good move.
Yeah. Drop you on your fucking head, you know? I don't think they're hitting that move on everybody, but...
Nah, they're hitting it on Mark Briscoe. Or
it'll look good
on Mark Davis tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, it was good. It was fine. It's whatever match. Little hype video about Moxley and Joe that was actually really good. And then straight to John Moxley backstage. He said he knew he was going to get beat up. But could Joe really keep going long enough to beat Moxley? He promised that no matter what Joe did, he'd been through worse. He'd face demons that kept people up at night, and he was going to take the fight to Joe. He'd be the last man standing against Joe, and there was no place he'd rather be. It was solid stuff. It popped me over and over.
At this point, this is why I'm like, is Joe actually winning? Because, like, I just want this to be over. You know what I got to say? And we have to acknowledge this at some point. At some point, it's not go away heat. This is working. He's the best heel in years because everybody wants him to lose, you know? Like,
yes.
And yes, that's just, and I think we all just need to step back and acknowledge that sometimes. Because I do feel like sometimes the hate can sometimes get a little bit, like, too, a little unsarcastic. Like, you know, like, I'm not a fan of what we're doing all the time. But I have to admit that it is hitting a level at this point of we need the championship off this guy, where it's not.
No, and we knew it was working when the Ops lost, or when the Ops won those titles.
Yes, 100%.
That is how you know it is working for what they want it to.
Yes.
But my God, sometimes someone does need to double check Moxley. Like, dude.
100%. They need to just stop him at the door sometimes, but no one's going to do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes be like, hey, buddy.
Who has let's more reel, cachet other
let's
than
reel
like Jericho.
This one back in just a tad.
But think about it. It's like probably him, Jericho, maybe Kenny, but like mostly like it's like a handful of people that have the cachet to just say whatever the hell they want and they can just get away with it. Probably MJF as well, you know, like, but there's only,
as far as we know, well, everyone kind of gets an open page. You just have correct. To hit certain things.
But I still think Tony has to hear what you're going to say before you put it out there.
So Moxley like, had to hype up the match. This is your guideline.
Yes.
You want to kill Joe. All right. And then he's like, well, I'm going to barrel through the bridges of hell and take you with me.
Exactly.
All right, dude.
So, yeah, no.
He's basically Tommy.
Oh, shit. He was there
the whole
time.
I've been here the whole damn time. My name's John Moxley. Yeah, so Anthony Bowens, who has been here the whole damn time.
Swerve found a map to Nick Wayne's training facility in Seattle.
hey, Anthony Bowens, though. I try to find my... Great song.
Oh, yeah.
Great package.
Hey, not true.
And he came out and beat Lee Johnson's ass.
He did.
He hit the Molly Wop for the victory.
Dude, wait, actually, Lee Johnson had a pretty banger theme, too, I must say.
Yeah, he did.
I dug did. That. Dude, the whole thing was kind of nice, actually. I will say, is Anthony Bowens going to wrestle in the full gear the entire time? Because, I mean, it looks good, but I do kind of want to see his, you know, his muscle levels a little bit, you know, like.
Look, I am, that part, yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming, you know what my guess is for that? It's going to be like a singlet thing. He's going to fucking rip it off.
You know what? That's fair. I hope so. Yeah. We're just waiting for that moment. Yeah, we need him to fire up in a match. Maybe it'll be a match against Caster, bro. Because I feel like there's still unfinished business with Caster. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe one more match at least.
I'm very content with what they're doing with Bowens right now. I think it's just they're keeping him on TV, and they're just kind of buying
their time.
Doesn't it
feel like if we're gonna do a Bowens pay per view, big time pay per view singles match, it should be against Caster to give them both the opportunity to shine?
Well, they kind of technically already had the pay per view match, so I don't know.
I don't know. It just feels appropriate. I don't know. That's where my brain's at.
Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, look, I'd like to see him get on All In somehow. How we do that, I think it's going to be a ladder match. But, you know, that's assuming the TNT
ladder
title.
Hey, TNT ladder match could be, so, you know, yeah.
That's assuming that Adam Cole, you know, like, the TNT title's kind of doing its own thing right now. And we're who knows what the other titles are doing.
It's doing its own thing, but he's not feuding with anybody specifically right now, so you could get away with that, you know?
No, like, exactly. So that's why Bowens I'm very content with. It feels like they're prepping him up right now for a push. So I'm fine with it. Gates of Agony came out. Bishop Kong grabbed the mic, talked some shit about Bill and Keith. And yeah, they brawled with them. Pretty good brawling here. Really
what
good
is up with the fucking Bishop on the mic recently, bro? He's usually pretty good, and I just feel like he sounds a little weird. I don't know, like...
Well, the crowd wasn't playing back with him. Maybe that pushed into it. And maybe he... Yeah. I didn't notice anything weird about it. I did notice the crowd
wasn't
playing back.
Delivery was just a little odd. I don't know.
It was just
like,
flat.
Yeah.
It was just flat.
And maybe, yeah.
Video recap for Anna Jay and Megan Bain. Good shit there. Shout out one of our pillars, Anna Jay. Recap for Nightingale and Statlander showing the friendship, yada, yada, yada. And we get their match. Okay. Where Chris Statlander actually defeated Willow Nightingale. Now, it wasn't clean. Not a clean victory. Sets up again a future match with them. Because I ultimately don't think we resolved this feud as much as everyone thought they might have last year. They didn't. And yes, you could say all the time has gone by. Sure. And we did get the big closing match at All Out, which... I believe it's both of their best singles match in AEW still to this day was their all-out match.
But yeah, that's probably pretty up there, yeah.
So this match was not that, but it was still perfectly fine. Again, this probably should be for a championship.
Yeah, right?
But it's hard right now because...
Mercedes is not even being asked to lose championships right now.
We have
it's
Mercedes
tough, you know, like,
with her title, which assuming she... I don't think she drops it to Athena. I do think they have a match against each other at All
100%,
In. I don't think she drops it to Athena. So maybe we go full circle and Nightingale's the one to beat her. at All Out, maybe, or something.
That's like double for full circle, though, because remember, she was the one to beat Willow, because Willow beat her for the New Japan Strong. So yes, that would be, it would be like another layer.
But it's been, it'll, you know, at that point have been like 100%. 20 months.
Oh yeah, because she won that championship and hasn't
lost. Maybe you could
head,
go bring that all the way back. But again, it'll Athena might beat her anyway, so for all we know,
that,
it could
that
be irrelevant.
Could be the, I would really, and that's really hope what I'm hoping for. I really want to see Athena finally get featured on AEW TV. I feel like she's
and
so
then
deserving.
Let Mercedes kind of buy some time. 100%. And then in a perfect world, by the end of the year, Mercedes is women's world champion.
Ideally,
and you
yeah.
just, you get that bridge where she's not a champion for a little bit, and then you build up to her getting it. Because I really need her to win the world championship. I think that that will be a massive run. Not that this title run isn't, but it's just going to be bigger because it's the world championship. That's simple. Marina Shafir got involved again here. Wheeler Yuta got involved. Wheeler is fully embracing this emo vibe, so that's cool. Always down with that. Sky Blue returning next week. Hey, this women's division's really, really cooking up. Maybe let's not just throw four-way matches together.
She's going to be on her own. She's not going to be with Julia. So
yes.
Which
and she's in the she's in the four-way match, so...
Have we gotten the announcement on who the others in that match are yet? Or
do Tony Storm, Sky Blue, Azumi, and Mina Shirakawa. So,
okay.
Very fresh fucking match.
Yeah, that should be a banger.
This was brutal.
Uh-oh.
Dark Order.
Oh, the, no.
Jobber entrances.
Yikes.
Wow. They're gone, man. GG.
Yeah.
Those contracts aren't getting re-signed. I mean, we know it's already happening, but this was probably a light signal for other people.
Yes, 100%.
I personally, I don't know about you. And this is, yeah, I'm not even going to say it. This was fine. Look, they got their asses beat. This, it's not their division right now. It's just not. But they are very, and I guarantee you this, they are very influential backstage. And I think a lot of people like the Dark Order.
Oh, 100%.
And they're AEW original. So even if it's as simple as, look, hey, we're going out there and getting our fucking asses beat by a couple of, you know, A, one of the newest guys, and B, one of the youngest guys. They don't mind doing it, and I think they look good doing it. They got their they put them over, so it's just unfortunately not their time.
Yeah, I don't think they're probably going anywhere anytime soon, considering Evil Uno and Adam Cole do their like AEW games thing or whatever. So I think Uno is probably safe no matter what, because he's like tied into AEW on like a certain level. I don't think they would just have Adam Cole take over AEW games. I mean, if they got rid of him, yes, but I don't think that that's. I think Adam Cole would lobby.
It depends on when that contract ends.
That's true, but I think Adam Cole would lobby to keep his friend that he's doing the thing
sure.
with, you know, around, even if it's not
and
with his power.
He's one of the OG guys. I mean, look, the Super Smash Bros, they were one of the big fucking,
and
you know.
Stu's not even in the goddamn company anymore,
yeah.
you know?
And then like, it's like, hey, we're bringing these guys in. This was a big deal. And look, they've had some good stuff in AEW. They've had some very memorable matches, but it's just not their time anymore, and that's okay.
It's just not your time, bud.
Mike Bailey defeated Dralístico.
Man.
Really solid match. Quick. Very quick.
They got their shit in, though.
Yeah, they did. Canadian Destroyer, fucking super hard kicks. The crowd? Hey, yo. Are they behind Mike Bailey as much as we are?
I think so.
If so, I'm down.
I think
down,
I heard them going
dude.
Speedball. I'm pretty
speedball.
Sure.
Speedball. Speedball. Awesome finishing sequence with the I'll hit this whole finishing
sure,
sequence.
Go okay. for it.
Dralístico goes for a splash. Bailey catches him with his feet, pops him up onto his shoulders, hits a Canadian Destroyer. He then hits a moonsault into double knees on the apron, hits a spinning heel kick to KO Dralístico for the victory. Come on, man. That's good shit.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those reasons why I was always excited to watch this guy's matches, because the way he wrestles is so unique that like it creates these phenomenal finishing sequences, because all he has to do is like hit two or three moves and they all look so spectacular.
Speedball!
I wouldn't be surprised if this guy was like, yeah, I only know like 15 wrestling moves, but I know how to do them all so perfectly because I've trained them like I'm a fucking ninja, you know? And so that's why they look so clean, because like if you really, because I almost wonder if there's like, this could have been Jade's fucking, you know, potential, you know, in my mind. Like, if you just taught her how to do stuff that isn't that hard really well and really clean fundamentally and then unleash that person, I don't see why that doesn't work. Because you can learn a signature move or a finisher move and add that into your arsenal. But like having that really strong base of just like, I'm not able to do everything in the book, but all the things, like, isn't that kind of basically what Brian did for like 20? Yeah, I know Brian could do everything. You think Brian Danielson could do everything when he was like fucking 17? I doubt it, you know, like, so, yeah. You know, like, I almost wonder if you put somebody out there that you find and you just like, maybe this is something either at the Nightmare Factory or one of the other schools that is run by one of the, like, they just really, now maybe that's just selling yourself short, but I almost feel like there's something there, you know what I mean? Like, of just being able to do stuff so well. And I feel like that is ultimately what Speedball does. He probably has a way deeper arsenal than that, obviously. He's fucking indie, goddamn, he's indie-rific as hell, but you know, like, but at the same time, I don't know. It's just something that speaks to me about the way that guy wrestles. It's really cool, you know?
And that's fair. Look, he is just that level of good. So, and I believe that's it. So, Roosh came out and stared at Mike Bailey, and that match is going to be awesome. So, as far as right now, I will pull up Tony Khan's social media live just to make sure he hasn't announced something as we're doing this.
He does love to do that while we're recording our show.
We have four matches right now. Okay, last match was 17 hours. Okay. AEW World Champion Jon Moxley defends against Samoa Joe in a steel cage match. Ospreay, Hangman versus Konosuke Takeshita and Josh Alexander. I think Takeshita and Alexander win that match.
They are on momentum right now, so it could be.
And that would play into what you were saying earlier. These guys, they're not going to be civil by the end of this match.
They might start fighting mid-match.
No, yeah, there's no way. And then Ricochet, Zach Gowen, and then the Storm, Blue, Azumi, Mina Shirakawa match. So, Tony Khan has not announced anything else. What do you think of the new Dynamite theme?
Different, you know. It sounds good, at least, you know. I mean,
Sum 41?
Yeah, I mean, Sum 41's a good band, so, you know, we'll take it, you know. So. I do think Dynamite has needed a new intro for a little while. It wasn't something I was actively waiting for or anything, but when it started,
light the boom.
When it started,
light
a new
the intro, fuse.
Yeah, when it started that a new new intro coming in, I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. At least it's different, you know. It made me lock in instantly. You know what I mean? So there's that, you know.
Now we just need our new Collision intro.
We had one temporarily.
Yeah, we had a Mikey Ruckus one. Let's go get like that new fucking. Let's go get the Linkin Park song. Let's go get something fun here.
Hey, I would love that.
Let's get some Kendrick Lamar.
Oh,
come on,
that would be fucking lit. Let's go.
I want something just new. I don't really care what it is. It maybe not country. I don't know if I need country on my wrestling program, but I mean,
if
you find
I've
a
ever
badass
heard a country wrestling theme, have they ever done one? That would be.
If
insane.
You find a badass country song, maybe I'm in, but. Yeah, that'll be it for us, everyone. This has been a fun little show for you for ESE, Eat Sleep Elite, the
ESE.
Jolly Ranchers of your candy. So,
what?
We're the Jolly Ranchers of podcasts.
Are we really, though?
I'm
a lot of people are going to say Jolly Ranchers are mid. Like,
well, they can go fuck themselves because I'm watermelon and you're blue raspberry. And that's an honor for me to give you blue raspberry.
It truly is. I humbly accept.
I should say fuck off. You're a little bit of a lemon lime there, you little shitbag. But
some people like lemon limes.
Yeah. You know, orange is underrated. Were you ever an orange flavored person?
You what, this is going to blow your mind. I was the kind of person that would, if teacher or whoever was offering Jolly Ranch, I would just take whatever one was given to me.
I mean, I would too, but blue was definitely always the best.
If I had a choice, I think I would go for blue personally. But yeah. I would just grab one. And a lot of times I would grab two and the teacher wouldn't care. So, you know?
Hey, let's go. No Darby Allin update this week. Andor finale is tonight, maybe last night, depending on when you're listening to this. And look, it's going to be a fun week of AEW next week. So we look forward to chatting with all of you guys. And we will be talking some best of Super Juniors next week. So,
Nick Wayne.
Get ready for some Nick Wayne. Long live the Burger Boy.
Tom freshly squeezed towards Cassidy.
Yeah.
And I do not have a catchphrase.
War dog.
War dog.
War dog.
War dog.